The top black leaders in the civil rights movement almost always have been men. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Thurgood Marshall, Jesse Jackson. But one woman was a leading figure in the movement's politics, although she is far less well known. Dorothy Height was the only black woman on the speaker's platform when Dr. King gave his I Have a Dream speech at the March on Washington. She has spoken with every president from Eisenhower to Clinton about the interests of black American women. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams talked with her about her newly published memoir.
Whenever political Washington needs to acknowledge the power of black women to organize, raise money, or get out the vote, 91-year-old Dorothy Height takes center stage. She's the former president of the National Council of Negro Women, the major organization of black women in America since its founding in 1935. Height also led Delta Sigma Theta, a sorority that remains a key network of black women throughout the U.S. Those two posts made Height one of the most prominent black women in American politics. In her memoir, titled Open Wide the Freedom Gates, Height explains that she began working to organize black women as workers in 1937. That's when educator Mary McLeod Bethune, then an advisor to First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, asked Height to join the two-year-old Council of Negro Women.
I was assigned to escort Eleanor Roosevelt into a meeting that Mrs. Bethune was having. I escorted Mrs. Roosevelt into the meeting, and as she was leaving, Mrs. Bethune stopped me and she asked me my name, and I told her. And she said, come back, we need you. So I went back, and I've been back ever since.
What's interesting about your meeting with Mary McLeod Bethune is that she immediately gets you involved with this idea of collective action by black women in America.
Yes.
And this idea then takes you immediately into labor issues, such as negotiating for the wages of domestics or maids.
Right.
And until you became involved, they were literally on the street sometime negotiating the amount that they would be paid.
Well, actually, in 1937, called it the Bronx Slave Market and the Brooklyn Slave Market. Those were the names that we had for it, because that's what it was. Many of these women would go to Atlantic Avenue and 116th Street or 125th Street and just stand and wait. And then women from the Bronx and from all around would come, look them over, and select one, and take her home to work for her. And what I found was that those workers were often just terribly mistreated, and they might work 12 or 14 hours. Sometimes they were sexually abused, and I was very much involved with trying to get the city of New York to pass a law that they would have to go to hiring halls, and that there'd have to be some standards.
Now, in 1947, you become the president of Delta Sigma Theta, the sorority of black women. And again, this notion of collective action by women of color is at the top of your agenda, but this time it's not just in the United States, but worldwide.
Yes.
Why?
Well, when I came into office, I saw this as an opportunity to say, women who have a college education have not just an opportunity for themselves, but they had to learn how to work together. That was Mrs. Bethune's theme. That's what she really instilled in all of us, that the most important thing was for us to learn how to work together. And I often said, building coalition and networking long before the words became really popular.
Probably the most controversial piece of writing you've ever done appeared in The Nation magazine in 1989. And in that article, you argued that the idea of self-help, which was then the rage in American culture, ran contrary to the ideals of African Americans. Why is self-help antithetical to the way that African Americans live their lives?
It was really to say that as a part of a society, as citizens, we have the right to expect help. We should help ourselves to the maximum. But one way to help ourselves is to fight to be a part of whatever resources are distributed in every community. Even if one individual succeeds, it doesn't move us as a race. I think that we have to see that we have to move ourselves as a people, but the only way we can do it is by working together.
How about African American women as compared to African American men? In fact, Newsweek magazine just had a cover showing prominent black women in American society that black women are now better represented in terms of high school graduation, more black women than black men in American colleges, American graduate schools, in American business, black women just doing much better, they said, than black men.
They are doing all of that. But I would also have to say that the advancement of women cannot be disputed. I think that what we are seeing is that there are too many women who are highly qualified who are not able to move forward.
Dorothy Height, you're 91 years old.
Mm-hmm.
When you look back now over the course of your life in terms of the progress that black women have made in America, are you cheered or do you see issues that are yet to be resolved?
It's both. I have to say that I feel that we have made progress. But the basic, underlying, deeply embedded racism still is there. And for us as black women, sexism is also there. And so, therefore, the title of my book, Open Wide, the Freedom Gates, is taken from something Mrs. Bethune said. She said, the freedom gates are half ajar. We must pry them fully open.
Dorothy Height is the author of Open Wide, the Freedom Gates. President Reagan awarded her the Citizens Medal Award. President Clinton gave her the nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Juan Williams, NPR News, Washington.
An excerpt from Open Wide the Freedom Gates is at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.